ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसादाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारसदेव गौरवाणी प्रचारणे नरविशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतरणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासिनि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29. Tana prasida vrijinardana tengri mulam Prapta visrija vasatistvat upasanasa Tvat sundarasmita da nariksha tivra kama Taptahatmanam purusha bhushana dehi dasyam Therefore, na, to us, prasida, please show your mercy, vrijana, of all distress, ardana, O vanquisher, te, your angri mulam, feet, rapta, we have approached, visrija, renouncing, vasati, our homes, tvat upasana, worship of your, asa, hoping for, tvat, your sundara, beautiful, smita, smiling, nirikshana, because of the glances, tivra, intense, kama, by lust, tapta, burned, atmanam, whose hearts, purusha, of all men, bhushana, O ornament, dehi, please grant dasyam, servitude. Mercy to his feet, we abandon our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. Purport, when Sri Krishna was born, the sage Garga predicted that he would manifest all the opulences of the Supreme Lord Narayana. The gopis now appeal to the Lord to fulfill this prediction by being merciful and granting them direct service, just as Lord Narayana awards direct service to his loving devotees. The gopis emphasize that they did not give up their families and homes with the hope of securing a higher pleasure from Krishna. They are simply begging for service, revealing their pure-hearted devotion. The gopis think, if in the course of your pursuing your happiness, we somehow or other become happy by seeing your face, what is the harm in that? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments on the words Purusha Bhushana, O jewel among men. The Thakur states that the gopis are meant to say, O jewel among all males, please decorate our golden bodies with the dark blue gems of your limbs. Translation, therefore, O vanquisher of all distress, please show us mercy. To approach your lotus feet, we abandon our families and homes, and we have no desire other than to serve you. Our hearts are burning with intense desires generated by your beautiful smiling glances. O jewel among men, please make us your maidservants. So here we have a direct request of the gopis. They reveal their hearts completely here, admitting their great love for Krishna. In the previous verse, they desire to approach the lotus feet of the Lord, etc. Now they're actually saying that they're completely overcome by kama, by great desire for Krishna. And he should grant them service to him. And they've also given up their houses and families with the great desire of worshiping Krishna and surrendering to him. So they address him here as the person who vanquishes all distress, Arjuna. And, of course, in the material world, people are distressed. They have poverty or other problems. And if they are somewhat faithful, then they approach the Supreme Lord and ask for some relief for that. And this, of course, is what we call mixed devotion. They come with a desire to get relief from distress. And a great example of that is Gajendra. He prayed to the Lord to get rid of the affliction of the crocodile. So, of course, we have many other types of distresses in the material world, which are also called crocodiles in one sense, because they afflict us in various ways. So the whole material world is full of crocodiles in the ocean, so to speak, and they keep biting us in many ways. So people are distressed. They don't like pain, and therefore they may apply to the Supreme Lord to remove that pain. But as I said, this is what we call pure or bhakti. So here the gopis are also praying to Krishna, one who relieves distress. So you relieve our distress. But this is a little different. The gopis' distress is not because they have material bodies and material pains and material identification. They don't have any of that. And that is indicated here by the fact that they gave up their attachment to their houses and families and whatnot. They have no consideration of their own physical happiness at all. And of course, everyone in Raja is completely beyond bodily identification in the normal sense of the term. So, therefore, when they talk to Krishna and call him the one who destroys all suffering, they're not talking about this material suffering. So, we have another type of suffering which arises from separation from the Lord. the devotee has great aspirations and for the meeting and serving the Lord. And if these aspirations are not satisfied, then he suffers. So it is very proper for the devotee to pray that the Lord somehow fulfill his desire and let him serve the Lord. And that way the Lord becomes the destroyer of all distress. So this distress is not the distress of physical problems and physical obstacles. This is the distress caused by separation from service to the Lord. So this case, what is the service to the Lord? It's the rasa dance. The gopis serve Krishna by participating in the rasa lila, in which they dance and sing and joke, etc. And in this way they please the Lord. But Krishna has not fulfilled their desire. He called them with the flute and then he says, go home. So this is the cause of the distress or the pain. Krishna can be the destroyer of that pain by accepting them and then participating in the rasa dance. So therefore the term the destroyer of all suffering is not the same as usually applied in the material world. So in this way, the not only in the gopis, but we'll find in the other associates in Vrindavan and other places also, lack of service gives rise to great distress. The definition of bhakti is Krishna anusilanam, to cultivate this relationship with the Supreme Lord, which may be active in the terms of doing services for the Lord, and it is also internal, one's sthayi bhava for the Lord. So when the devotee is separated from actual service, he may feel great distress. We see here there is a lack of service when Krishna discourages the gopis, and therefore they have distress. Later on, Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he's separated from everybody and they can no longer serve him. So this gives rise to great distress also, not only for the gopis but for everyone. So they're all suffering, and then again Krishna is the deliverer from that distress, because when he returns then they can serve him directly. So therefore all the people of Vrindavan periodically experience this distress because of separation from service to the Lord. So there are various intensities of prema, of course with various forms of the Lord, but with Krishna it reaches a very high level, and with the people of Vrindavan it reaches the highest level. So they feel the most separation from Krishna. We see for 11 years the Yadus were separated from Krishna because Krishna was in Vrindavan and they were in Mathura and other places. But we don't have descriptions of how they suffered so greatly because of separation. But immediately when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, then we have very elaborate descriptions of the great suffering this caused for the people of Raja. So particularly the people of Raja, because of their intense prema, feel this greater suffering because of the separation. And within Vrindavan, with the various rasas, there is intensity of separation. So as we go through Shanta and then Dasya and Sakya and Vatsalya and Madhurya, the higher we go, the more intense is the feeling of separation. We sometimes see that the cowherd boys were separated from Krishna, and they have separation also. And when Krishna went to Mathura and then to Dwarka, the cowherd boys also felt separation. But we also notice that When all the people of Vrindavan went to see Krishna in Kurukshetra, the cowherd boys weren't there. They stayed in Raja. So they didn't even need to meet Krishna again. They were satisfied internally by their relationship with Krishna. But others, like Nanda and Yasoda, they had to see Krishna, and the gopis had to see Krishna. Because more intense love was there. So ultimately, the intensity of separation reaches its peak in the Madhurya Rasa with the gopis in Vrindavan, and therefore they have the most extreme symptoms. So when Uddhava was sent by Krishna to deliver his message to the people of Vraja, he noticed all the people in separation, etc. And then he saw Nanda and Yasoda in separation. And then finally he saw the gopis. They were in the most intense separation from Krishna. The extreme degree. And therefore he understood they're the highest devotees. And he praised them as the highest devotees also. So they have the most intense love and consequently the most intense pain and separation from Krishna, the greatest distress. And therefore they hanker for Krishna to reappear again. In this case, of course, this is only the beginning of their relationship. Previously, there was Purvaraga. Previous to the actual Rasa dance, there was some indications of Madhurya Rasa the previous year. But no real prolonged contact with Krishna and discussions with Krishna at all. So this is the first time that they actually meet intimately for a long period of time. And at the very beginning, we find that there's the obstacle here where Krishna discourages them. So nevertheless, their love for Krishna is such that they cannot in any way tolerate the obstacles, etc. So the obstacle in this case is Krishna himself. Because Krishna says, go home. So he's the only one that can actually relieve them of the distress that they're in, the separation and lack of service, by consenting to perform the Ras Leela with them. So this is their request here, deliver us from this distress of lack of service. And they pray in a very humble way. So they mention his lotus feet. Please be merciful and give your lotus feet, etc. And give us dasya, which means a position as a servant. Let us be your servants. So this expresses their humility. So they're in the highest level of highest intensity of prema, and at the same time they have the highest degree of humility or misery, we can say. They put themselves in the lowest position even though they're in the highest position. So very rarely they will think of themselves as very exalted persons. Rather, they think of themselves as very fallen. And this is one of the qualities of prema, that this humility is there. And the higher you go in rasa, then the more they feel fallen. So sometimes the gopas will feel, oh yeah, we're very good because we're with Krishna like this. But the gopis always feel we're the most fallen and put themselves in the lowest position of all. So that is also expressed here where they say, just we want to serve you, we want to be your servants, even though they're in the highest position. So therefore the highest position in bhakti also manifests the greatest humility. We see in the beginning of bhakti, Lord Chaitanya says that one should be lower than a blade of grass. And that is the qualification for chanting the holy name. And we see in Sharanapati, or surrender, one of the six elements is this complete feeling of humility and misery in front of the Lord. Feeling very insignificant in front of the Lord. So this is intrinsic to the process of bhakti itself. If one is proud, then it is very, very difficult to advance in devotional service. And rather we see that pride often takes one away. So we see examples of that in the, for instance, the two Arjuna trees who were previously the sons of Kuvera. Why did they act so offensively towards Narada? Because of pride. They had pride, so therefore they couldn't appreciate devotees at all. So therefore humility goes along with devotion, because we admit ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. But the higher we go, that more it manifests in extreme ways. So when we get to the gopis, then we find the extreme position of humility, etc. And they often express this, how unqualified they are for the Lord. Nevertheless, we see that they're simultaneously the highest, and Krishna actually surrenders to them because they're the highest devotees. So this is the very nature of prema itself, that humility is included in it and reaches higher and higher stages the higher the prema goes. So they pray only for dasya, let us be servants and somehow serve the Lord. But then at the same time, we see they use this word Purusha Bhushana, who is the most excellent among men, or the jewel among all men. So this, of course, gives a hint of their relationship with Krishna and Madhurya Rasa, because they identify Krishna as the Purusha, and he, among men, he is the best of men. So the in Rasa, there is what we call the Vibhava. The ingredient, the first ingredient of rasa, that has to be the object of love, vishaya, and it has to be the devotee. So here the gopis are the asraya. They are the experiencer of this madhurya rasa for Krishna, from their point of view at least. And Krishna is that vishaya. He is the object of love. Of course, for all rasas, the object of love is here, there, but as Krishna. But here, Krishna is the object of love as the lover. The qualities of this lover, male lover, manifest in the Kaishor age. So when Krishna reaches Kaishor age, then this Krishna as the most beautiful of men, that begins to manifest. Of course, there's different parts of Kaishor age also, and the final part is considered the highest, and the first part is the lesser, and then middle, and then finally the end of Kaishor age is considered to be the peak, in which Krishna becomes the most beautiful of all for the gopis in Madhurya Rasa. So he is the best of purushas, of males. And as is explained here in the purport, Vishwan Chakravarti explains that we have ornaments, and ornaments generally make the body more beautiful. That is why people wear ornaments, so that people will appreciate the beauty of the body. It's not that they're advertising ornaments by putting them on. They're trying to make their body more beautiful by the ornaments. So the ornaments enhance the body. So that's the general idea here. In this case, of course, then why would we call Krishna an ornament? So the underlying meaning, of course, is that the gopis themselves are golden, and Krishna is the ornament on their body. And of course,
He is Nilamani. He is sapphire, the sapphire ornament on the golden body of the gopis. So he decorates the bodies of the gopis and makes them more beautiful, whatever. Of course, then the other analogy is also mentioned later on, is that the Krishna was there in the Rasa-lila. And he was like a sapphire among the gopis, who were golden in color. So it's like the sapphire, when set in a golden ring, it becomes more beautiful than when it's alone. So the combination of the gold and the sapphire together, they increase each other's beauty. The gold becomes more beautiful by the dark sapphire. The sapphire becomes more beautiful by the shining gold. So they increase each other's beauty. So the combination of Krishna with the gopis produces more beauty than the individual beauty of the gopis or the beauty of Krishna. So this is natural, because we see that Krishna is always accompanied by his spiritual shaktis. And it is with that shakti that becomes most beautiful. So that combination of Krishna with his shakti produces more beauty than Krishna alone. So Krishna with Radha is more beautiful than Krishna alone. So, of course, we know also that the shakti itself is responsible for the form of Krishna, the name of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, and the pastimes of Krishna. So the beauty of Krishna itself is manifested through his shakti, literally. But then that shakti also takes the form of Radha, as Hladini shakti. So the combination of Hladini shakti with the Lord himself produces the highest bliss of all. So the combination produces more bliss than the Supreme Lord himself alone. So the combination of Krishna with the gopis produces more bliss than the bliss of the Lord himself. So that is also expressed by this idea of the jewel, the ornament, etc., and decorating the body of the gopis. So together, they produce a very attractive, more attractive form, a more blissful form.
Maharaj, with regard to the intensity of separation Maharaj mentioned, when Krishna was leaving for Dwaraka from Hastinapur, the female in the palace of Yudhishthira, they were all in extreme emotion, by which they had flowing tears. At the same time, they stopped their tears, considering that it is so inauspicious to shed tears when Krishna was living, which appears to be a very intense, like that of the gopis, Maharaj. What would be the difference in that quality, in that sense?
The difference?
Yeah.
Well, it's similar. So those verses are often quoted to show that not only in separation in Vrindavan, separation in other places, Dwarka also, the same takes place. When Krishna leaves Dwarka, then the people are in separation and the queens are in separation, etc. And even in Mathura, the same takes place. We find, not in separation, but even meeting Krishna, when Krishna first comes to Mathura, then all of the young women there, they also express very similar types of emotions as the gopis. Of course, it's slightly different because they also see him as Supreme Lord, but they also express Madhurya Rasa for Krishna, and they also appreciate the gopis' love for Krishna. So it is very similar to that of the gopis, but it's also, we say, tinged by the idea that they see Krishna as Supreme Lord. But the separation and union and all, they take place in outside of Vrindavan as well, in Madhurya Rasa.
Well, in the principal gopi, there are 8 gopis. All of the Vrindavan gopis are eternal or not?
Not only them. There's millions and millions of others who are eternal also.
Like if you take in terms of Brahma Samhita, the thousands of Lakshmis are serving the lotus feet of Mahavishnu.
When the gopis are concerned. Those Lakshmis are gopis. because it's describing Krishna. He's served by Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevya Mahanam, that's Govinda. So those are actually gopis. And there are many of them, we can say, are eternal. Some may be sadhana siddhas as well, but many are nitya siddhas as well.
There are other Lakshmis that are expansion of Mahalakshmi, or there are...
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
But they're all called Lakshmi.
Like a gopis are individual souls, right? Individual.
Yeah. Well, many are. We can say that some are special Shakti of the Lord, but many are just jivas, nitya siddha jivas or sadhana siddha jivas. Krishna's not expressing it. Well, here he is refusing slightly because of pastimes, that's all. But actually, just as they have separation, Krishna also feels separation from the gopis. That's why he played the flute, so he could meet the gopis, because he was feeling separation. Eagerness, yes, because of separation.
Raja, the intimate confidential relationship as that of the Vrajavasis can also be developed by hearing those pastimes as mentioned by Prabhupada in the purports. So what generally hearing always takes place, Maharaj, but what is the quality of that hearing which makes this happen, Maharaj? I mean, generally we come and hear the Bhagavatam class or we hear the pastimes.
Well, but hearing with devotion and hearing with a similar type of mood and an aspiration for a similar type of mood, which becomes Raga Nuga Bhakti.
But again, these four special qualities of Venu or Leela or Rupa, is that limited to Vraj or is it outside the Vraj also, Maharaj?
What? Four qualities?
That Krishna manifests with his devotees.
That's particularly for Vraja.
Vraja.
Yeah.
Carry out his instruction just to please Krishna. So in the same way, when the gopis, when Krishna instructed them, go home, just to please Krishna, they could have gone. But here the feelings of gopis are predominating Krishna's feeling. Could you please explain? Just to please Krishna, Arjuna went and fought in the battlefield. He just followed his instruction to please Krishna.
Well, intention is different. In the case of the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna put Arjuna under illusion so that he threw down his bow, etc., in order to give teachings. And then through those teachings then Arjuna understood how, you know, different things, and then he agreed to follow the Lord. And he got out of his illusion that way, which is arranged by the Supreme Lord. In this case, Krishna's instruction for them to go home is not an absolute instruction. It is actually part of his pastime to reveal the intensity of love of the gopis and to increase their love for him. So it is part of his intention that they do refuse to go home.
Manas, this is regarding Rapu's question, in that gopis feeling separation from Krishna, and he was asking that does Krishna also feel separation from gopis also, or devotees? Like if you see the pastimes of Dwaraka, you know, when Krishna was feeling separation from Vrindavan, I think all the Dwaraka was a create artificial Vrindavan. It's mentioned in the Brihad Bhagavatam, I think. Means here also, in Dwaraka was also trying to satisfy Krishna by creating artificial Vrindavan. So that, you know, because Krishna doesn't feel the separation from Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So means, you know, Krishna also feels the separation.
Oh yeah. No. Of course, we see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita also the same thing is there, yeah, that he's always dreaming of Vrindavan in his sleep, even in Dwarka. Mm-hmm. And so Uddhava says, actually, I'm with Krishna all the time, but I'm not with him because he's always thinking of Vrindavan. So he's with the people of Vrindavan, he's not even with me. You know, so they're the highest devotees, not me.
Another question is like, you know, you're explaining about this service, increase the attachment towards Krishna. Could you explain a little bit that how service increase attachment for Krishna?
How service increases attachment?
Attachment for Krishna.
Well, in the stage of sadhana, of course, sadhana itself means engaging the senses. So that means active service through which the sthayi bhava begins to manifest eventually in bhava stage. So how does it take place? It's because that service, though it is using the body and the senses, it is actually the shakti of Krishna. It looks like it is material because we're engaging ourselves in activities of our senses, but actually it's a spiritual activity. So that tends to produce this bhava in the atma itself. And once one has got to prema, bhava and prema, it's no longer a practice that we do these activities. Rather, they are an expression of one's bhava. So the sthayi bhava is established, and the anubhavas, or the action like hearing, chanting, etc., are a symptom of that love. And by doing those, that increases the love further. So in other words, the activities of service, etc., act as a stimulus for further increasing the love, and that love itself is then expressed through further activities. So it's a continual increase.
Another question is, like, see, although service is unlimited, even the devotees who is performing devotional service is supposed to be also unlimited. Unlimited means there is no restriction. But in the material world, see, those are sadhana, following the sadhana bhakti, they have some limitation, that 6 hours, 7 hours, or 8 hours, something like that. That only I'll do. So how to understand this? Means by they are limiting themselves that only 8 hours service I have to do.
Well, we're limited by the body. We're also limited by the amount of devotion we have. It's not in the level of prema. If it's prema, then it's 100% everything is for Krishna. But if one is in nishta or anarjana vritti, obviously, the bhakti is very small. So therefore, we're limited by the very amount of bhakti we have, as well as our material limitations of body and, you know, surroundings, etc. So to the extent that we're limited in our bhakti, that means that we are influenced more and more by material things, material conditions, gunas, etc.
And the question is like, you know, you are explaining about the Vishaya and Ashraya. The Krishna is a Vishaya and Gopis are Ashraya for the bliss. But you are explaining this word Purusha Bhushana. Means Gopis are thinking Gopis are thinking that Krishna is like an ornament for them. But sometimes we see when Krishna become Ashraya and Gopi become Vishaya for the pleasure of Krishna.
From point of view of Krishna, he is the Ashraya and the Gopis are the Vishaya. Yeah, so it goes both ways. Yeah.
Does Krishna ever feel that, you know, without the Gopi I cannot, you know, I cannot get bliss also?
Oh yeah, that's why he's always with Radha. He's always with Radha because of that. He's always with devotees. And that's why we say you never depict Krishna alone, because he's always in association with the devotees. It's through the devotee that he gets his bliss.
Then how can we explain this quality of Atmarama for Krishna?
Atmarama is an essential quality of the Lord, that he is no way dependent on anything in the material world. In the material world, of course, people have material senses, material ahankar, and so many things. And if one reaches the Atmaram stage, he's completely separate from a material identification, and he is satisfied in the self. No, nothing to do with external material things. So that is obviously there, the Lord inherent, because he's not in any way conditioned by material energy at all. So it's his very nature to be Atmaram, satisfied in the self, not in other things. But at the same time, higher than being Atmaram is his attraction to bhakti and his attraction to the devotees, which arises from his nature as Bhagavan.
Can you say that this Atma, the quality of Atmanam, is a material?
No. Only beyond material nature one becomes Atmaram, as Sukadeva Goswami or someone like that.
Atmanam, yeah.
Yeah. But it's often associated with Brahmavadis and others because they're peaceful and satisfied in the self.
Another question is like, you know, you explained this Sharanaputti or Sharanagati, that once devotee advance, he feels himself that, you know, is lowest in everybody. He lowest in everybody. But in a materialistic point of view, someone might criticize him by seeing this quality. But once advance, he might feel this, you know, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And this also might create some ahankara, false ego for him. That thinking oneself as a servant of the eternal servant of the Lord. This might create some ahankara.
If we associate that with a material identity, then it would. But ideally, when we say one is the servant of the Lord, we're talking about the Atma, beyond material identity, who is servant of the Lord in the absolute sense, not in some material sense. So therefore, if we have that understanding, then there's no danger of it taking on a material quality or whatever. If we have no faith and we say that, then yes, we can simply have a superficial pride or something in being a servant of Krishna or whatever, without actually being understanding we're the servant of Krishna at all. And then we can develop all sorts of bad qualities because of that.
Regarding this Atmarama, Maharaj, like Krishna is Atmarama, but then he is going behind Radharani, or maybe he is feeling separation for Radharani is because Radharani is feeling separation for Krishna. Like if a sadhaka wants to have a relationship with Lord, then Lord reciprocates it. If not, Lord is self-satisfied with him. So likewise, basically Lord is self-satisfied as Atmarama is because Radharani wants to have association with Krishna, and then she is longing for it, and hence Krishna is reciprocating to her. Is it good understanding?
Well, not only that, with any devotee, and that's also eternal. So it's not that sometimes he's Atmarama, sometimes he's not. He is by nature, but that is manifested usually in relation to, people in Shantarasa perhaps will appreciate that. Whereas with the other devotees who are active, then they don't appreciate that much at all. They appreciate his response.